What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to a live NBA outlet presented by OGGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and special Australian guest, Jack Manuel. What's up, guys?
You know the great thing about doing these video things? You guys can't tell if I'm wearing pants or not.
Oh, God. Not what I wanted to think about, but thanks, Jack. And obviously, what we are talking about today, Anthony Davis. The news came out. He requested a trade from the Pelicans. He told them he was not going to sign an extension. Initial thoughts about this, fellas?
Surprising. It was literally 11 p.m. my time, chilling out, checking on some Parks and Rec. You get the Woj bomb, and it's just like, ooh, okay, I might have to stay up a little bit later with this one, check all the tweets, see what's blowing up. And it's a wonderful time to be immersed in Twitter right at that time, like, because normally I'm like in London, so to the other side of the world, so I'm asleep, or, you know, but for me, it was perfect just to be a time immersed all that. And I'm just like, okay, well, Lakers, Boston, what's going to go on here? And the fact that it happened so early, I think is somewhat surprising, but it's as surprising as like LeBron going to choose the Lakers. It's like, you know, an expected surprise.
Yeah, this was my breakfast news. I was getting breakfast and getting it all set up, and then this came in, and my entire day was delayed 30 minutes because, like you said, Jack, you got to check on all the updates. I mean, obviously, I'm not totally shocked. This has kind of been the story, you know, brewing on the back burner the entire season. You know, would the Pelicans blow it up when Anthony Davis eventually requests a trade? And finally, we're here. And this is probably, you know, the biggest superstar, you know, next to Kawhi that, you know, demanded a trade, basically. Like, this is a big-time player. Like, this is not, like, the normal type of player to demand a trade like this.
Yeah, and he's entering his prime. You know, he's in, like, a perfect position where it's not like you're mortgaging the future. You know, we talked about this in a previous show. He's, like, 25, 26 years old. You're going to be relevant for 7 to 8 years because he's such a dominant player. And, Corey, we kind of hinted on the last NBA outlet. Like, the Pelicans, it made sense for them to be sellers, being 22 and 28, not much hope, Anthony Davis being out. So it was a surprise in a sense, but not really because they've been so bad. Obviously, a lot of the talk has been like, oh, are they going to move him before the deadline? Obviously, that's only 10 days away. It still probably makes more sense to sit on him to the offseason.
What do you guys think about the news? Obviously, he's still out with that finger injury. Obviously, Brian Windhorst was probably the one that sort of advocated for this first about just sitting him out. Like, there's no point in making any sort of risk because he's probably the most valuable player in trade history. What's the point of you know, putting that at risk for any sort of potential package from Boston, Los Angeles, or whatever other team?
Corey, you want to take that first? Or you want?
No, you go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I think it honestly makes 100% sense because let's look at it this way. Anthony Davis, you don't want him to get injured. Worst case scenario, and then, you know, knock on wood, you don't want him to tear his ACL, have some type of terrible injury like we've seen happen to guys over the last year. You know, Victor Oladipo, Corey's boy, just had one. Our boy, Caris LeVert, dislocated foot. Like, we don't want to see that happen. It makes sense. Also, on the Pelican stands, they're probably going to tank, so they want to get the highest possible pick. So losing makes sense. And obviously, the other reports came out. You know, they're looking to move Mirotić, Randall, Etuan Moore, all the guys in that team. They're looking to be bad and get a high pick. So I think it's a smart decision if they were to sit AD the rest of the season.
100% agree. I mean, you know, Anthony Davis is the prize jewel. You can't afford to have him lose any value at this point. You sell off all the other players, as you mentioned, Nick, and you hold off on AD because, honestly, you can't trade Anthony Davis without hearing what the Celtics can offer you. I mean, that they have the most assets, and that's a simple fact. You got to hear everybody's offer. I understand it might be really tempting to take the Lakers offer right now, or, you know, I heard the Knicks were somehow, their name is involved in the mix, but you're not going to want to accept any deal until you see what the Celtics can offer you. And that's just my opinion. So I think you trade everybody else, like you said, Nick. Yeah, I mean, why not sit AD? I mean, hell yeah.
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, I think it makes complete sense. And I think, you know, there's no point in risking him in any sort of stretch. And like Corey alluded to as well, you know, the fact that, you know, before this trade news even came out, Zach Lowe referenced on his podcast that, you know, Moore, Mirotić, and Randall were all on the market apparently. You know, the scenarios put forth were, you know, are they packaging these guys to get another star to put alongside AD, or do they know? Did they know the AD news already and are looking to get extra assets and just blow it up completely? And, you know, a fire sale, you know, Drew Holiday's on the market as well. So I think if you're Dell Demps, it's going to be a tricky job for you going forward. And, you know, he hasn't necessarily proven himself to get a package in return because this is a franchise-altering trade. You know, this is going to determine the future of New Orleans. Not to sound hyperbolic or rash, but the future of New Orleans basketball is on the line here.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, there's already people talking about moving them to Seattle, you know, wherever they want to go. It's a possibility to move them. And I think, you know, the Pelicans have their chance. It's not like has been on the team for 7 years. They've made some bad decisions. Obviously, injuries suck. But I don't think they've ever truly put a contending team around AD.
No. I mean, and honestly, I think last year, their playoff run, that's probably the ceiling for that team in reality in the West. They're not going to get much farther than the second round in the playoffs. They're just not that good. You know, the depth and everything else. So, I mean, like, realistically, the writing has been on the wall. They took a swing with some of these guys. Injuries are what it is. But it just, you know, it was never going to be more than what it was. And Anthony Davis finally just grew tired of that.
If you're Del Demps, guys, what do you prioritize? Do you prioritize getting young assets? Do you prioritize getting picks? Do you prioritize getting off bad contracts? Is it a combination of what's the most important thing in this Davis deal? It's happening, even though the NBA is apparently looking into the fact that, you know, the request was made. And if is that some form of, you know, tampering from Rich Paul or Anthony Davis and or Anthony Davis, it's going to happen.
Yeah, so if I'm New Orleans, I'm probably not making the trade before the deadline. I'm probably firing Dale Demps. I'm getting a new GM, letting him make the decision, move forward with a whole new front office and team. There's been a lot of talk about Dale Demps being on the hot seat for the last 3 years. I think it makes sense to change your GM, let them have a new vision and come in and kind of change things instead of letting him make the choice, which, like you said, Jack, is going to be the future of New Orleans basketball.
Honestly, I might even fire Gentry as well. I might go full-on rebuild, like just gut the entire thing and start fresh.
I mean, usually when you fire your GM, you know, you bring in a new GM or new president of basketball, things are going to change. So the coach, I think it's very likely. Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree with you guys. I don't see it happening because of the relationship with ownership and the front office. But I agree with what you're saying. And if I am, you know, Dell Demps, I'm looking to get the best package available. And I think that picks is probably the best thing. And that's just from my perspective, because I think, you know, picks and pick swaps. You know, I think, you know, if you're getting a package from the Lakers, obviously you can only trade a first round pick every 2 years. In those off years, pick swap, you know, the rights to a better pick swap, you know, whoever has the better pick, we deserve it. You know, we're giving you the best player nearly of all time in terms of his position. You know, Corey and I have spoken about that on ALF before. So, and I think it gives you the freedom, because if you're in New Orleans, you're not going to be getting any, you're not trading in free agency superstars. It's just not going to happen. The way they got Anthony Davis was they selected him in the draft. So they have to build internally. I mean, it's going to be disastrous in terms of their attendance and in terms of their, you know, just ability in that media market. They're obviously like probably the fifth highest rated team behind probably the curling over there in New Orleans as well. So I think, yeah, I that's what I would value personally. And, you know, getting off contracts like Solomon Hill, just doing everything you can that is best for this franchise to rebuild from the bottom up.
Yeah, I think a combination of young players and picks is what makes sense. There's even been talk, like we mentioned, trading the other guys and getting more picks in there. So just bringing a ton of picks, a ton of assets, trying to get the rebuild going fast and kind of excite New Orleans about a young, exciting team. Talking about this, though, guys, give me your top five targets.
Teams-wise?
Yeah, team-wise.
I think it's LA, it's Boston. I think it's I'm going the Clippers. I think the Clippers are within a decent shot. I think Chicago just have that hometown factor. And number five, New York.
Well, I think it came out today that Chicago is somewhere that like Anthony Davis never wants to play for.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Right. So I think my five would be Lakers, of course, Boston. I think the Raptors would be like a dark horse. They kind of had that we're going to go for it all mentality. I like the Clippers as well because of that whole LA thing. For a fifth team, I don't really have one. I mean, it'd be interesting.
Let's say maybe Antonio.
I just don't think they have enough to offer. There's just not enough entice in terms of their package.
But if it's Anthony Davis saying, you know, San Antonio or bus, you know, he said he's prioritizing winning. You know, he gets the all clear from Greg Popovich. I'm kicking around for as long as you're playing this game, big boy.
Still tough to say. Like, you know, even if you bring AD to San Antonio, are they contender?
No, I think that
they are, but that's just, I think that they're top four with eight. Right now, you add an AD, taking out whatever you want. You keep like maybe DeJounte Murray, Derek White, or whoever it might be. You keep pieces around AD and you have the coaching of Greg Popovich. I think that makes you a top four seed in the West.
Yeah, top but four, but I don't know if that means that you're actually contending. And I just don't know if there's any package, even like some of the teams that aren't as exciting as San Antonio or maybe can compete as much, can offer a better package. Like there's just better picks, better young players. And I don't even think what they have an extra first from Toronto, but nothing crazy. It's not like they're going to have any young piece on that team other than DeJounte Murray, who they're not looking to trade, I would think.
That's that.
Yeah, I mean, the teams you guys listed, obviously LA is
them. What about the Denver? What about Denver?
As like they mentioned, Zach Lowe brought him up on the podcast. Like, they have potential. They have the package. It's just like, can you get AD to stay in Denver? Like, that's the real question.
Oh, my God. That'd be crazy, though. I would really enjoy that. I would enjoy that a lot. Yeah.
And they have players to trade. I mean, you look at it, they could trade one of Gary Harris or Jamal Murray. They have Michael Porter Jr. they could throw in there. They can throw in a ton of draft picks. They have a couple other young guys in the roster. Yeah. I mean, they can make it happen.
Yeah, and Headgale in the comments has said that the Pelicans should do the same thing that the Celtics did to the Nets. I think, yeah, you've got to gut the whatever franchise, and it seems the Lakers are the most motivated to make this deal. So if you're Dell Demps, you know, the ball is in your court. You have everything to play. You have the asset available. Get everything you want. You know, Kuzma, Zubac, Ball, Ingram, every single pick under the imagination. Make sure that they're not lottery protected and just do everything you can, because funny things can happen in this league. We've seen what happened to Brooklyn. And if, you know, AD gets an injury, LeBron might, something might happen down the line with him. Obviously, we don't want any of that to happen, but funny things happen in basketball. So if you are Dell Demps, despite the fact that we've advocated to fire the bloke, you're going to do everything you can to make this franchise relevant and, you know, have long-term sustainable success.
So let me ask you guys this. If you're the Pelicans, you take that supposed offer from the Lakers or the request of having Lonzo, Kuzma, Zubac, and the first-round draft pick. If you're the Pelicans, do you guys take that?
No. It's like you said, Corey, at the start, Boston has the number one young asset in Jason Tatum. You know, in terms of he exceeds, I would say even Jaylen Brown is a better asset than anything that the Lakers have right now, despite the fact that Zubac is playing okay. And, you know, Kuzma is this, you know, J.R. Smith light version or whatever you want to call him. He's just a flat out scorer. I still think Jaylen Brown's a better asset. So it would be silly for Dell Demps and the New Orleans Pelicans to make a deal before Boston can get into the market, because, you know, 10 days to get this done, I don't see it happening. And, you know, the Lakers could try and, you know, trade in other assets or trade away guys and, you know, get out a guy like KCP for another pick or something. So I think it just makes way more sense to just hold.
The only way it makes sense for the Pelicans to make a move with the Lakers right now is if the Lakers get scared. If they're like, all right, we need to make this move happen before the deadline, because then Boston can get involved. And like Jack said, they have Jason Tatum, they have Jaylen Brown. They still have picks in that treasure chest to throw at you. So maybe they can get some type of leverage where the Lakers are really nervous. They get some crazy offer, like four first-round picks. They're getting Kuzma, Lonzo. You know, maybe they even get Ingram too. Like, in throwing all that at you, I think that would put New Orleans in a good position. Even if you have another team involved and you're getting more picks and you send one of the young pieces somewhere else.
You think there's any scenario where the Lakers throw in more assets to try and get Drew Holiday as well as Anthony Davis? Is that even possible?
No, I don't think New Orleans would do it.
If you're New Orleans, you're going, no, you give me everything for Anthony Davis. There's no way in the world. I think, you know, some other teams like the Pacers might be willing to throw in picks and decent enough assets to and decent enough assets to chuck for a guy like Drew Holiday. But no, I remember seeing somewhere that they were saying, you know, Drew Holiday, the main reason that he signed that deal, well, 90%, I think his quote was to stay with Anthony Davis. I mean, you know, a decent enough deal with 5 years, like 125 million, probably helped that as well. I mean, but we could see Drew Holiday leaving as well. We already talked about, you know, Mirotić, Moore, and Randall. You know, I could be on the way out as well. So it could be explosion time, blow it up time in New Orleans.
100%. And I think what about the other teams? We talked about the Lakers. Obviously, we know the young players they have. They'd have to throw a ton of picks in. We know what Boston could do. What about like the Clippers you guys mentioned? What are you guys thinking in terms of the Knicks, who are reported to be very aggressive in pursuing AD?
Yeah, and for me, I don't understand how the Knicks. Fizdale did come out today, very recently, just a few hours ago, and it was making the rounds that, like, you know, that he doesn't want to make it. He hasn't heard anything about it. He was stuck in his hotel room. I mean, that's just silly. I mean, if you're talking about Anthony Davis, you do any deal you can to land a franchise-altering superstar, game-changing superstar. But if you're New Orleans, you're asking for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tobias Harris, you know, Tatum shits, some picks, whether it's a 2021 first rounder, you know, another second rounder. And then, you know, I think something around that, you know, might even throw in a Jerome Robinson as well for another second asset at the same time. Clippers are obviously, you know, rumored in the market for KD and Kawhi. So I don't know why they wouldn't, you know, pick up the if Barmer. If you're Lawrence Frank, you don't try to make a deal with them, because I'm a big advocate for what the Clippers are doing. They're similar to little brother in terms of my Brooklyn Nets in a big franchise. So I'm all in for the Clippers getting AD.
I don't know. I think it's a lot for the Clippers. I mean, it's never mind. I can't say that. I don't even know what the what a fair trade is when it comes to Anthony Davis, because you're trading for a top five player. But it feels like, the Clippers are getting rid of like everything that makes the Clippers this year what they are to get Anthony Davis. But again, you're getting Anthony freaking Davis, so you just make the damn trade. And Tobias Harris is just Tobias freaking goodbye-bye. Yeah, I mean,
I don't really, like, if I'm the Pelicans, like, that offer Jack threw at them, it's, like, nice, but it's not like, oh, my God, I want to take it like Anthony Davis. Like, it's not like it's young players. I'm not, like, feel like I'm building for my future. Like, I don't know. I just feel like the Clippers offer just won't live up to the other guys unless they're okay and just trying to push it in there and, like, doing it as a rental. And maybe, you know, New Orleans just doesn't want to deal with the Lakers. But there's been talk about New Orleans not wanting to deal with any Western Conference teams.
I think the Clippers have the third or fourth best package. I think that their package is as good, if not better, than the Knicks, which would be something like Tim Hardaway, Nil Aquino, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, and then picks. You know, I think it's going to be about the picks as well.
Crazy.
The Knicks can offer their first-round pick this year, which is probably better than most of the assets, because they could end up being Zion, or they could put in Kevin Knox in the deal too, which is probably better than a lot of the pieces in the Clipper offer too. I mean, Knox is only, what, 19 years old or 20 years old, and he looks like he's going to be a good player. So I think they could throw a better offer than the Clippers in my eyes, but it would really gut the Knicks, and they'd be relying on, all right, we have KP, we have AD, and we need to sign KD, and then we'd have some crazy length. But that would be the only – that's like a super big risk.
But, like, unless it's Zion, it's almost not worthy of a pick, because it's like, in terms of this year's draft class, obviously there's been plenty of talk about it. Zion is in a league of his own. Mm-hmm. And most, you know, RJ Barrett's nice, and, you know, Nassir Little's nice. Ja Morant's nice. Yes, we can. We'll do draft stuff plenty in the future, Corey. but I just think that, you know, unless that's a Zion pick, if you get Zion and then everything else, and essentially it's a Zion for Anthony Davis trade, then that's like, you know, equal. That's like the most equal trade you could probably do. Two possibly, you know, game altering superstars. But at the same time, you know, I think, yeah, it's about the picks, but I really like SGA, so that's probably why. And I really like Tobias Harris. I think he's, like, you know, a really, and he's still young as well. You know, he's probably around the same age as AD. So I think that it depends on what you're valuing. But like I sort of mentioned earlier, you've got to get those picks. And I hear what you're saying, Nick, and the fact that this year's pick has a high likelihood, especially with the lottery odds flattening out, and Zionism. You know, I'm a Zionist myself. I've mentioned it on JBT. You've got to do everything you can to get that bloke.
Yeah, and I think that's why you have to wait until draft day or the draft lottery comes out, so you know what the pick's going to be. So I think that would kind of, you know, have some impact on the deal too.
What I would say is that Knicks package, though, if you throw in that first-round draft pick, is really intriguing. I mean, I think Kevin Knox is big time. I think Fred Ntilikina needs just the right fit at this point.
Said it right, Corey. Is it my presence that just helps you with your linguistics?
I like to think I'm trying to get better, okay? I like to think I'm making an effort. I like to, yeah, we're progressing here. I'm on like a silver badge of pronunciation. No, that's not good.
Well, we're talking to Tobias Harris also, just to get back to that point. He is a free agent. So does he even want to stay in New Orleans?
Probably not.
Probably not, unless he's like, they're going to just throw him all the money and max him out, and him and Drew Holiday are going to kind of lead the team. Then you're just going to be kind of competitive and never really be a true contender. So I think it's an interesting thing to think about, but like the Clippers package just doesn't really entice me. The Knicks, like I said, it makes sense if they get number one pick and they're really going all in free agency, but it's a super big risk. What are some other squads that you think could get involved?
Utah Jazz.
I like that one. Yeah, why not?
I don't.
Would you trade Donovan Mitchell for Anthony Davis?
Corey, you can go first. That's your boy.
No. But
I think, like, you would, but, like, then also you have no, like, other offensive guards.
I would trade Rudy Gobert in that pack. Donovan Mitchell wouldn't be involved in that deal. It'd be Rudy Gobert for Anthony Davis. as well as whoever the hell else you want. Because the idea would be to get Donovan Mitchell and Anthony Davis together, which I think would make the Jazz a lot better than they are now.
Yeah, I mean,
just because Rudy Gobert obviously defensively is probably a much better center, but I just think it's Anthony Davis.
I don't think the margin is that different between an Anthony Davis at his best defensively to a Rudy Gobert at his best defensively. Rudy Gobert is probably the best, you know, interior defender in the league, whereas I think AD has the ability to switch and is still an amazing, you know, interior rim defender and is going to be a defensive player of the year candidate for the next decade. I would love that fit, but, you know, our boy Nicovallo has put up, you know, the Toronto Raptors before, and you know, we've got to chuck it in there because it was the first trade in the OTD trade deadline marathon by yours truly. Golden State Warriors, baby.
Oh, God. I can't see it. I can't. And just so you people know what the trade offer was, I believe, Jack, it was Klay Thompson, Draymond Green for Anthony Davis, correct?
Correct, sir.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, from the New Orleans side, Klay's probably leaving. You got to deal with Draymond, who you're going to have to pay a lot of money the next year. I don't know if you really want to make that trade. I mean, it sounds good to, like, the New Orleans fans. Like, oh, we're getting two all-star players. Like, our team's still going to be good. But, like, at the end of the day, long-term, you have no type of commitment, and that'd be kind of scary.
I mean, you do have Drew Holiday and Klay, and, like, maybe you can convince. Okafor's been really good for five games, yes, guys. Baby. Nah, you're right. They probably don't want to stay. That's going to be the biggest issue. The fact of the matter is can New Orleans ever truly keep, like, a superstar or, like, a borderline star? Like, that's going to be the issue in the future again.
That's why Zion, I think, makes a lot of sense. Or any guy who's on a rookie contract where you still have him as a restricted free agent afterwards, you know, both the Boston guys and whatever. So, and then a lot of Laker guys as well. So I have to do this because it's just my job. What about the Nets?
Who was it? It was our boy D-Rock proposed a trade. It was, like, Jared Allen and Alan Crabb and D'Angelo Russell, first round picks. Yeah, I mean, for me when the Knicks news came out, I'm like, why can't the Nets get involved in this? We have probably the best player in any package in D'Angelo Russell, and then we have three first round picks this season. Essentially three first round picks because we have the Knicks second rounder, and you can package that however you want, and it's kind of juicy. So I think the Nets are a sleeper. And the fact that Woj has also mentioned the fact that New York teams could be, and, you know, obviously we are a New York team, despite the fact that we aren't the New York team. But what about Philadelphia, lads?
Well, no, I'm not done with the Nets yet. I don't think it makes sense for the Nets to do it, personally. Like, I think it sounds great, but, like, if you have to get rid of everything that's just made Brooklyn what Brooklyn is now, like, if you have to get rid of so many players and kind of dismantle that core and the culture they built to bring in Anthony Davis, like, I get it. Like, you're getting a superstar in Anthony Davis. But, like, is there a guarantee he resigns necessarily? No, right?
I think there's a belief he would resign. And I think it's Brooklyn, the culture, the front office, being in New York, establishing yourself as the Brooklyn franchise player, like, long term, I think that's enticing to AD. I don't know him personally, so I'm just kind of speculating here. But I understand what Corey's saying, because you'd have to gut most of your young core to do it. But I think there is a scenario where it almost would make sense. If you're only giving up two guys, and like Jack said, Denver's pick, your own pick, the second round pick of the Knicks, and then also maybe a future first, and you don't have to give away, you know, as long as you're keeping, like, more than half of the core. Like, if you have to give up Jared Allen, that makes sense because you're giving up a big AD's best position as center. Now it's like, all right, do we have to give up D'Angelo Russell? Yeah, I hate to say this. Do we have to give up Caris LeVert? I just bought his jersey, so that would probably mean it's highly likely he'd be involved in the trade, and I haven't even got to wear it yet. So it just makes me a little nervous. But at the end of the day, I don't think they pull the plug unless New Orleans gets desperate and they really want to push him east, and Boston and the other teams are kind of being stingy.
Yeah, Dave DeFore on Twitter was saying that, you know, there's an elitism now about the Brooklyn Nets and the fact that they're building a San Antonio Spurs-like model of success, which is, you know, long-term sustainable success. You know, the San Antonio Spurs have been in the playoffs for the past two decades. So, you know, obviously with Sean Marks, you know, a former San Antonio front office member, I think that that's the model that they're going, and they're not going to do necessarily anything to mortgage their future. But if you get a package that allows you to get Anthony Davis, like you mentioned, and you can keep at least one of Caris LeVert or D'Angelo Russell, then that makes them an incredibly, incredibly enticing franchise.
And I think the Nets have no problem starting Spencer Dinwiddie if they had to move D'Angelo Russell. Like, I don't think that would be an issue because he's played so well, obviously coming back from injury. Also, another name I would just throw out there would be Rodions. Like, he would probably bring some interest from the Pelicans just because he's also 20 years old. Think if you're New Orleans, you want to get as many young guys, like young as possible. But also, the Nets are going to have plenty of cap space in the summer. Why trade assets when you could possibly get a top five player in Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard? Not saying it's going to happen, but you have the opportunity to get it for free, giving up no assets.
That would be where I would want to go. That's the route I would want to take.
Yeah, I don't think that the Nets are in the sweepstakes as highly as everyone else. So I think that a trade where you can guarantee a deal, i.e. what the Lakers, you know, with Paul George, you know, they were like, oh, no, we'll just wait. We'll just wait. He's coming. And then he re-signs. You know, I think you have to be aggressive in today's day and age. And if you want to get, you know, a franchise altering superstar, then you do everything you can to do it. Obviously, without mortgaging your future, because, you know, Nets fans have been on the back end of that, and we know all too well what that is. But at the same time, you know, if you're Dell Demps, you need to, you know, make sense of the fact that you are the one that has all the leverage right now with Anthony Davis. So you need to use that leverage against all the other teams in the NBA and make them drive up the price for what is going to be, you know, and already one of the best power forwards of all time.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think, like you said, Jack, you kind of do have to be aggressive. That's why, in terms of getting that leverage, it doesn't make sense for the Pelicans to make the move until the offseason when they have all the possible trades on the table, including Boston, which we all know they can't make the trade because of the Rose Rule and Kyrie. So they have to wait to the offseason to pull the trigger there and get their best offer. Same thing with the Knicks, where their pick lands. So all this kind of makes New Orleans have to wait. It doesn't really make any sense to trade them within the next 10 days.
It'd be so hard to find a suitor.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're catching somebody's, like, really, like I said, unless the Lakers get really nervous and they throw you something incredible that you just really can't turn down, you don't think you're going to get better. Obviously, you can talk to Boston and ask them what they're going to send you, but you really don't know until you get that final offer from them. But going back to Toronto, what do you guys think about them?
I think that if you're Toronto, you know, you're all in on it. You know, you give up OG, Pascal Siakam, Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, and, you know, a first-round pick. Obviously, you know, maybe two first-round picks at the same time. If you have Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Kyle Lowry, and then you've still got some pretty tremendous depth in, you know, CJ Miles, Norman Powell, all these guys, it makes you the favorite. Outside of Golden State Warriors, you are the favorite quite easily. They probably already are. And in my eyes, you know, they're one step ahead of the Bucks. But, you know, landing Anthony Davis, and you have Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard, two guys who put up numbers and can produce against, you know, one of the greatest teams of all time, then it makes you nigh on unstoppable.
I think if you're the Raptors, you do everything possible to make that deal happen. You know, obviously, the hope is Kawhi Leonard resigns. If you bring in a guy like Anthony Davis and you show them, you know, you show Kawhi that it's all about winning, then I think that entices Leonard to want to stay. They already have that type of gritty defensive culture. I think Anthony Davis just pretty much fits right in. Kyle Lowry's a selfless kind of guy. Obviously, as you mentioned, that would probably be the next closest team to the Warriors would be the Raptors if they acquired Anthony Davis.
I think you look at them, they have two possible guys who are Warrior stoppers in a sense, or just like kind of slow them down, and Kawhi and AD, Kyle Lowry. You still have Danny Green, who has experience against them, championship experience. You could probably get a couple guys in the buyout market. It's a completely all-in move for the Raptors. I think if you're smart, you put a couple protections on those picks, at least like top 10 or top 5 in case you end up bottoming out and losing Kawhi and AD. But it'd be unlikely because you already have two of the top 5 players in the world on your squad. So I think you'd be in pretty good condition.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you put like top 3 protections on it or something just to give you some semblance of protection. But at the same time, you know, if you have, like you mentioned, Nick, if you have Kawhi, if you have AD, why would you want to leave that?
Exactly. Any other squads you think could get involved? Any dark horse teams that you think would make a move and surprise us?
I chucked out Philadelphia a little bit. I think, you know, it was a Jimmy Butler. There's people saying that, you know, Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, you know, the fact that the chemistry there hasn't been working. If I'm Philadelphia, I'm holding stead with what I've got. I think you've got 3 top 20 players already, and I think you can make that work. But if you are, you know, Elton Brand, and you think that Anthony Davis can add more to your franchise, and you have assurances that he's going to stick around long term, there's the Rich Paul connection with Ben Simmons as well. I don't see it as happening, but You know, I think that all 29 teams are going to try and get involved in this race.
Yeah, I think everyone makes a call. I think reports just came out that Philly's not interested at the moment, but obviously things can change real quick, especially if they want to throw Ben Simmons in there.
Yeah, for sure.
And our boy Cool Akel or something is brought up the Bucks, Thon Maker and Brook Lopez for AD. Make it happen.
That is a bad trade. I'm sorry. I don't think the Bucks necessarily have the young talent that would entice them. And they could throw some names out there like Malcolm Brogdon, Thon Maker, but nobody's guaranteed to be a fringe all-star, where a lot of the other packages you're seeing, there's at least one guy who could either be an all-star guaranteed or a fringe all-star.
Well, I think Bledsoe and Middleton are both,
you know, they're expiring, very... though, no?
Yeah, they are. Exactly. That as well. Yeah, well, Bledsoe is a guy that I'm not – like, I think Bledsoe's having a great year, but he's not a guy that I'm like, oh, yeah, let me get Eric Bledsoe on an expiring deal. Like, Middleton's a lot more interesting, especially because you could just max him out and keep him. But I think if they got him, they'd probably want their big three to be, you know, Middleton, Giannis, and AD.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think it would be tough. Unless they were able to move Thon Maker, get another first-round pick, move some other assets on that team, and get another first-round pick and just, like, throw an offer with a ton of picks, that's the only way it probably
could. Brogdon, yeah, Brogdon and a bunch of picks.
Yeah, that's like the only way I could really see that kind of moving the needle there. Anybody else?
There's always
Dallas,
one that comes.
Dallas, just for fun. Davis and Luka.
Luka and AD.
Yeah,
that'd
for
be
fun.
Amazing. But I just don't know what they have to offer. A team that I expect to make a call, but I don't think it would happen, would be like Phoenix. Like, they just seem like a team that's always making trade calls, especially when they have no chance.
Miami, I think, will as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Miami always does too, yeah. They got nothing really to offer themselves, like, without kind of – their salary situation is terrible. So even if they got AD, they're not really bringing anybody else in for him.
Yeah.
I'm actually – right now, to be honest with you, I'm more interested in the pieces around AD on the Pelicans than I am with AD himself. Like, where Mirotic goes, where Jrue Holiday may go, where Julius Randle may go. Like, these are all – really good role play. It's actually kind of odd how it didn't work in New Orleans, obviously, because of injuries and stuff, because there's a lot of very good individual pieces on this team.
I think they have seven very good players, and then after that is where it gets kind of, like, scary. Like, it's
there's just no depth. Yeah.
But let's talk about those guys. All right, who would you rank? Obviously, Jrue Holiday is the best one, and we're not really 100% sure if they're moving Jrue Holiday at this point, unless you guys have seen reports that confirm that.
No, nothing.
Yeah, I think Jrue might be a guy that ends up staying around. I'm not 100% sure because they'll get the most assets for him. But between Mirotić, Julius Randle, Etuan Moore, how would you rank those three?
I'd go Randle, Mirotić, Moore. But if I'm a specific team, i.e. the Nets, I'll rank Mirotić higher just because of his fit within our system.
Yeah, I think it's Randle, Mirotić, and Moore as well. But it depends on the fit, obviously, just like you mentioned for your Nets.
How much would you give up for all the guys are Etuan Moore has another year left on the deal at $8 million. Julius Randle has a player option for $9 million, which a 90% decline. So what would you offer for Mirotić to start off?
You know, he got a first rounder in the first place from Chicago. You know, maybe a protected first rounder or a nice second rounder like the Knicks one that the Nets have right now, and some sort of, you know, filler deal that makes it work. But his injury history does worry me. If you're a team, I think that has to be worrisome. I think, you know, a lot of teams would be interested in Julius Randle at the same time. You know, he's fitting and his ability to put up numbers. You know, he's like a better version of Greg Monroe. He's just I think he's a light version of Zion Williamson in ways as well. I think he's a very, very talented player. And if you're a young team, you know, you could do worse than add a guy like Julius Randle to your roster at the same time.
Yeah, I think Randle's interesting. The lack of defense at times is the one concern. But I agree with the Mirotić thing. I think it would probably be a lottery-protected first-round pick and some sort of expiring deal. Randle maybe a little bit more, but again, it depends on Randle. I like the Zion Williamson comparison, though. I actually used that earlier today talking about him in a group chat, so that's funny. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I think any of these guys, I don't think you have to give up more than a late first-round pick because they're expiring. There's no commitment from any of them. Etuan Moore has another year in his deal, but I still think he's probably worse a late-round pick. So I think they're all attainable, but it's also a chance that it could be a rental because someone could end up paying them in the offseason. And like Jack said, Mirotić is a little concerned with his injury history, and then Randle, you're not really sure how he's going to fit elsewhere. How much would you throw out there for Jrue Holiday, who has a couple years left on his deal? Let me double-check it to be sure. It looks like he's got 26 this year, 26 next year, 26 the following year, and a player option for 2021 for 27 mil.
Yeah, I think that's a really good deal. I think it's a similar sort of value deal to what Bradley Beal is on right now. I think that he's one of the best defensive guards in the league. He's borderline all-star, probably an all-star in the East. So you throw a lot for a guy like, you know, Jrue Holiday. You know, I think if you're talking about if I would rather have Jrue Holiday or Mike Conley in the future, then give me Jrue Holiday any day of the week.
Yeah. I want the Pacers to go after him heavily if he becomes available. I think he'd be the perfect type of guy for Indiana. I mean, the issue with Indiana is we don't have a ton of interesting young assets unless you want to package Sabonis or Miles Turner, which you're not going to want to do. But I think Jrue Holiday has a lot of value. I mean, since he's been able to stay healthy, and you guys saw him live the other day just describing how he played. I mean, this is one of the top perimeter defenders in the league. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he's a game changer because he's a two-way player, and he gives you something a lot of guys can't because he can score offensively, but he can lock down somebody defensively and just make their life miserable.
Yeah, I agree. And Head Gale has mentioned that the Phoenix should go after Jrue Holiday. I think stylistically, that'd be a great fit. I'm just not sure what their front office and the deal surrounding that would be because Jrue Holiday and a Devin Booker backcourt would be, you know, very tantalizing.
Yeah, I don't know if Jrue is really interested in going there. I would say Jrue at this point in his career probably wants to go to a winning situation. You know, he could help make them closer to a playoff team, but I still think they're multiple pieces away from being any type of contending team.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just looking at it on paper. Just, you know, you obviously when these deals fly around, you throw around teams and stuff, but making it a reality is a completely different thing.
100%.
Just for fun, would you guys take this deal if you're the Pelicans? So Indiana's first rounder, TJ Leaf, Darren Collison, Bogdan Bogdanovic for Jrue Holiday?
No.
I think none of the expiring contracts really entice you because Jrue Holiday actually has real value. If you're trading for a guy like Mike Conley and they want to get the salary off the books, that makes more sense. But Jrue Holiday's not a guy you need to get off the books because, like Jack said, his contract is well-priced. You know what I mean? It's not like he's overpaid. He's not underpaid. He's pretty much perfectly priced, and he's a guy that could have a real impact on a championship team. I would say Indiana would probably have to include at least two first-round picks.
Yeah, and I would want maybe, if not those picks, Aaron Holiday or DeMontis Sabonis.
Yeah. Yes, I think,
yeah, if you did like Sabonis and maybe like a protected first, like I don't think that's the craziest thing. Obviously, Sabonis has been a six man of the year, but like Jack said, Jrue Holiday is probably an all-star in the East, and him and Oladipo would probably be one of the best defensive backcourts in the NBA.
Yeah.
If not the best.
And then you throw in the rim protection of Miles Turner. I mean, defensively, they're actually probably a lot better because Sabonis is sort of a defensive liability. But I don't know. That's tough. Yeah.
I mean, it's enticing for New Orleans because Sabonis is a young player. You can kind of, I don't know if you build around him, but he's a solid piece to have moving forward.
I agree. That's not bad, actually.
Any other crazy teams you're thinking about, guys? Who else could really use Jrue Holiday right now that would like be a game changer and push them towards contention?
Let me think. If there's teams in the, I mean, I think he'd be a nice fit in LA, obviously, but at the same time, you know, it's AD. He'd be a nice fit. We brought up Utah. You just think of those fringe teams. He'd be a perfect fit in Houston.
Utah would be ideal. The defensive fit next to Rudy, a ball handler next to Donovan. That would be a very interesting place.
Milwaukee's intriguing too.
Yep. I think look, Jrue Holiday, like Anthony Davis, good players fit on any team. And no matter if they're contending or not, it's just, like we said, the trade machine and the NBA.com, whatever ones, it's easy enough to finagle up one, but at the same time, it has to make sense for everyone involved.
100%. And I think it's also, we've kind of hinted at this, no one really knows what the Pelicans want. Do they prefer young players? Do they prefer picks? Do they prefer, you know, a young player and a solid player so they can kind of stay in contention? And also, we don't know where AD's top targets are. You know, Brian Windhorst on the Zach Lowe podcast mentioned like six times that there's only three or four teams that he'll really re-sign with. And he didn't mention those teams. Obviously, we know one is the Lakers, but we really don't know what the other three teams are.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
If you had a guess, what are the top four teams that AD would be willing to re-sign for? Let's say if there's more than four and Windhorst is just throwing out a number.
Lakers, Boston, Toronto.
What did you think of sorry to cut you off, Jack. What did you think about the reports that AD isn't 100% committed to getting traded to Boston because he's unsure if Kyrie would re-sign?
I thought that was very intriguing. And like, it just, for me, I would love to see Kyrie, AD, and LeBron in all in LA now that, like, you know, everything's cool. They're texting, they start throwing group chat, you know, the WhatsApp's gone fire, they're sending massive gifts. To me, it's very intriguing. And, you know, a lot of Celtics fans, it's nice to see Celtics fans squirming for once.
They deserve it a little.
A big time.
What about you, Corey? What did you think about that rumor?
I mean, could the Celtics trade Kyrie just to ensure that they get Anthony Davis?
That wouldn't do it, though.
I wouldn't do it. I mean, it's just way too big of a risk.
Right. I wouldn't do it either. But, I mean, I just I was surprised to hear that. I mean, I think, honestly, that last 10-game stretch where they were losing, you know, they had the shoving on the court between Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown. Like, tensions were just really bad for a time period. So, obviously, everyone was like, maybe Kyrie's going to leave. I think the last 10 games since, you know, that rough stretch, they've been pretty good. You know, they had the close game against the Warriors the other night. I think Kyrie's playing out of his mind. I think that's kind of lowered the tension or maybe the thought of him leaving. But even still, I definitely thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it definitely caught you by surprise. And obviously the whole Clutch Sports things, you know, that's LeBron's pretty much agency. And then Danny Ainge comparing him to Donald Trump, that doesn't obviously sit well. We kind of talked about it a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a huge factor, but I think it's something you consider, especially if you're Anthony Davis and taking a shot at somebody like that and having that whole agency.
Yeah.
But sorry to cut you off, Jack. What were the other teams you think he could possibly re-sign with?
Maybe the Clippers, just because it's the LA factor, and that's four. Yeah, that's four there.
I mean, I would have to say Lakers. I'd have to say Clippers. I'd have to say Raptors if they were involved in the mix. Man, that's it. I really.
Does anyone think Knicks? Because we're probably over the same teams.
I honestly do. I think that either New York team. I don't think that report we saw from Woj. We know Woj does not speculate. He knows information that we do not know. He just makes it seem like the speculation. I think he would re-sign in any of the big cities. That's LA. That's Lakers or Clippers. Boston, I think he would. It's kind of a bluff right now. If he were to go to Boston, that team is so stacked for the next 5 years, it would not make sense not to re-sign. We mentioned the Raptors. Him and Kawhi is a top five tandem. You don't really pass up on that. And then playing in New York City is like exposure would be ridiculous. Like, even with the Knicks or the Nets, it doesn't really matter. And then if he's, you know, I think the Knicks in some ways are more enticing because of MSG and obviously playing with Porzingis. If Porzingis were to come back 100% healthy, that is pretty enticing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't discount that, but, you know, I think that these guys work differently. And Brian Windhorst seemed very, very set on the fact that the Knicks are a team that are strongly within the mix. So, we know that guy is very tuned in, especially to things relating to LeBron James and Rich Paul. So, no, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm on board. I think a lot of the big cities just have a better shot at star players because of the extra marketability and things along those lines, the endorsement deals off the court. You know, you see lesser players getting big deals than some of the stars in smaller markets.
Right, and a guy like Anthony Davis, he's been dying for that kind of spotlight. I mean,
he deserves it.
Yeah, right. He does. I mean, he doesn't get showcased enough. You know, at times it feels like he's underrated because of the lack of exposure he gets in New Orleans.
100%. Guys, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Nah, we're going to watch the Boston-Brooklyn game, Nick. We got the buzz after this big fella. Come on, what are we doing with this?
We got 3 minutes, Jack. So just a quick shout-out to Foco USA. They're dropping some rookie bobbleheads. Very cool. Check out their website, FocoUSA.com. Shout-out to them. And as always, check out the pod, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Peace.
Peace out, Knuckleheads.